We were discussing the road of spiritual progress, or the journey, Urdhvapundra in Sanskrit. Our spiritual life is about this journey, Urdhvapundra, and in fact, the mark which devotees wear on their forehead is called the way which leads upward, Urdhvapundra. Yeah? This sign means that we are putniks, we are wanderers on the path of self-realization. It also means, amongst other things, that we have dedicated our lives to Krishna or Vishnu, and therefore this is the Vishnu Tilak. Another word for Tilak is Urdhvapundra, the road which goes upwards. There is this very famous verse from the Rig Veda that the saints always look upwards to the spiritual dimension. And now I must see that there is little peace in the audience. It's still an atmosphere as if we are in the train station. So, please find your sitting places. And if you find that the children cannot enjoy the discussion, then maybe you can take the children to a place where they can play and return later when we show the slideshow, which is also good for children. We have so far discussed that in the spiritual journey we have to address our deepest sanskaras. Sanskaras are the impressions which are there not only from one lifetime but from many, many lifetimes. And these impressions are mainly grouped in two categories. Aham Ishvara, I'm the controller, and Aham Bhogi, I'm the enjoyer of all I can survey. So as we advance in our spiritual life, we want to come to the understanding that God is the Ishvara, the Parameshvara, and that He is the supreme enjoyer. And as we are making more advancement into this world of giving pleasure to Krishna, we are more and more confronted also with our attachments in this world, our own wrong conceptions. And in order to properly make progress, we have to overcome them on deeper and deeper and deeper levels. So even when a spiritualist meets these challenges in his spiritual life and sometimes is not successful to overcome maya or illusion, it is not a problem as long as he remains on the path. Krishna understands. A very helpful attitude is in this on this road the attitude of humility, and therefore, oops, it's gone. But you, no problem, no problem. They all are intelligent people. Therefore, we need to make progress in two directions. One is the objective progress, which we can also measure. And the other is the subjective, our own feelings. And they should better go into the ground. We should develop roots of humility. Hare Krishna. This was where we were. Now I would like to offer a few very interesting tips and helping advices from the Vedic scriptures, which help us. the Bhagavatam, in the Uddhava Gita, there is a very nice shloka which I would like to read to you. Dehendriya prana mano diyang yo janma pyaya chud bhaya tar shakritshraya saṃsara dadhamyar avimukhya mana smritya hare bhagavata pradana. This verse speaks about a very interesting phenomena of life in this world which we need to understand. What do you think characterizes the life in the world with one word? It's an interesting question. We are looking for sound bits or sound bites. If you would have to describe the life in the world in one word, what would you say? That's a good question. Oops. Struggle, suffering. You're very negative this evening. Struggle and what? Pain or change? Looking for pleasures, lessons to learn, opportunities, also experiences. There's a very life in this world in one word. I think everyone should be able to answer this, even the president of Slovenia. What would he say? Yeah, material world. We are still in the material world. Sex. Oops. Life in this world, in one word. Sorry? Disappointment.
Desires.
Yearning. There are many answers, as you can see. Moksha Rupi Prabhu? Mistakes. Yes. Oh, mistake in singular number. Mistake. It's one big mistake. Yes. Hare Krishna. There are many answers, and most properly there is not one answer, but many, many answers. So I have noted down in my book. My book is called In Best Company. I'm always with my notes. Change. There are many changes which happen in this life. There's, for instance, birth, and then there's growth and decay. Then there is hunger, and then there is thirst. The mind is sometimes happy, but sometimes anxious, like you described, desires, you know. Then there are inevitable, it means you cannot avoid it, miseries of material existence. And the life in this world is really like a person standing in a river which brings him many things, the good, the bad, the opportunities, the lessons, the disappointments, birth and death. Duality is there. And the Bhagavatam says, a person who remains aloof from all these changes, simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to be considered Bhagavata Pradana, the foremost devotee of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Resume, do you understand, little children? But maybe what you can do, Blash, I very much appreciate that you translate for the children, but imagine you give a lecture and just only 1 meter, 75 centimeters before you is another voice talking all the time. a very irritating experience, yes. Maybe you can go with the children in the corner where the nice and interesting sound recordings are happening, that they don't get bored also. Thank you. Thank you. Voila. This, I feel, is something which you really need to learn. No matter what happens in the river of change, or no matter what happens in your life, learn to remember God. When you are able to do this, you are called a Bhagavad Pradhana, a first-class devotee of the Lord. See, we want to make spiritual advancement, and by now we have found out that many things will happen on the path which we have not expected. We will be tested, we will go up and down, we will confront the same issues of our conditioning. But the moment you still remember Krishna, you have what I would like to introduce as a rock in this material world. Just like in when you go to the banks of River Ganga, you see her riverbed has changed many times, but the rocks, the big rocks which are in there, have remained stable, unchanged, unmoved. So each one of us, in order to make his or her spiritual advancement successful, needs to accumulate rocks of faith, which will never change, no matter how the world changes around him. Srila Madhvacharya has identified what happens when a conditioned soul bases his life not on Krishna, but on the material body. That means, I'm a Slovenian, I'm a German, these material identifications. If one identifies with the gross body, one will find in his life an unquenchable thirst for sex. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry to be so open, but this is Madhvacharya. The more you identify with the grubi telotsky, the grubi body, the gross body, I'm sorry, I'm getting mixed up between the different languages. I should not try to speak Slovenian. I can't even speak French, unfortunately, although I have a driver G who knows very well. So if you identify with the body, you will become very desirous for sexual life, which will burn all your mental peace to ashes. Hare Krishna. And you will develop a certain drowsiness, sleep, you will feel tired. If you identify with the mind, if you base your life on this, I am my plans, and you are totally thinking self means what is going up in the mind, you will develop sometimes fear, sometimes panic, and many times hankerings, which end in disappointment. If you base your life on your intelligence, you know, when you base your life on the body, there is unquenchable desires. If you base your life on your mind, there's fear and hankering and disappointments waiting for you. If you base your life on the intelligence, you will develop in this world of change profound existential bitterness and frustration. Oh, why does the world not understand what I understand? If you base your life on your ego, Hare Krishna, get ready, fasten your seat belts. You will at times develop a superiority complex. I'm better than everyone else. But mostly in this world of change, where everything always changes, you will develop an inferiority complex. I'm not so good. Oh, I'm so low. Oh, Krishna. This is the same manifestation of ego. Superiority complex and inferiority. Same thing, same old story. I, me, and mine. Hare Krishna. So therefore, my dear devotees, it's best to base our lives on rocks of faith, in immovable things which we have understood. The first rock of faith, which is absolutely necessary for a spiritually minded person, is the understanding, I am not the body, I am a dushanadush, I am a spiritual soul. This understanding shouldn't be theoretical. It should be practical. It should be something which is always with you. I am an eternal soul, as the Katha Upanishad says to us. The Katha Upanishad will say that Amrita Putra, O child of eternity, such a, I can already see a song coming from Moksha Rupi's sound laboratory. I am child of eternity. It sounds so good, you know. Child of eternity. That's so important. That's a rock on which you should build your life in the world of change. That will keep you from being carried away by material desires, panic, and existential bitterness, or a superiority complex, or an inferiority complex, which happen if you base your life on the material body, or on the material existence, or material identification. I would like to recommend you a simple exercise, which I do every day, and since I do it, it has changed my life totally. Every morning when I go into the bathroom, I'm still a little tired, now I'm an old man. I think when I brush my teeth and I look in the mirror, hello, Hari Bol, are you still around? I'm thinking, I'm an eternal soul. I'm not that sleepy, drowsy body which wants to fall asleep even in the bathroom on the floor and continue to rest where no one can disturb his rest. I am an eternal soul. It gives me so much joy and so much inspiration throughout the day. I'm looking at the body and the thing, and you are my vehicle. Good morning, vehicle. It's just in a very human way, I'm trying to realize one of the rocks on which you can build your spiritual life while you are in the river of change. Aham Brahmasmi, the Vedas say, I am a soul. Or as Prabhupada would translate this often in a practical way or practicable way, I'm not the body. He would say like this. Then the next thing, which I always do every day, is actually coming from, let me say, an intellectual understanding of the gift of Indian philosophy. Do you know the unique gift of spiritual philosophy is that you can step aside. You can go into the role of the neutral or uninvolved observer. When something happens in your life, you can just look at it without becoming totally affected by it. Only at the moment when you are identifying with something will there be misery or profound material desires in your heart. If you just look at the body, look at the world, Also look at the beautiful things the world has to offer. And keep your neutral position without allowing yourself to be pulled with the ropes of desire into this world. You will be very happy. You will be very self-composed. You will be able to solve problems in a totally different way than if you are in the midst of everything, totally identified, a red hair, sweating with desire or anger, and totally out of your balance. And the third thing which I always meditate about is some very nice exercise which helps to be spiritual. It is to understand that everything, absolutely everything which happens in the life is arranged by Krishna. It is not a blind chance. There's a verse, and I remember the times when I was young and I came to Ljubljana and gave a seminar about this. It's the verse, I will read it to you, which explains this perspective that everything moves under Krishna control, Krishna's control. Tatenukampang susumikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ritvagvapurbi vidadan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabhag. Beautiful. My dear Lord, one who goes through life in the constant expectation of receiving your causeless mercy and who patiently undergoes the reactions to his own past deeds while at the same time offering you obeisances with his heart, words and body is ready for his spiritual inheritance, a place amongst the liberated souls. No? Three elements. When you see something is happening in your life, you should not point with fingers towards the circumstances. Oh, you did this, you did this, you are the reason for my bitterness. Oh, this movement, Hare Krishna movement, or the Slovenian movement. Slovenian movement means politics, you know. I don't mean Hare Krishna politics, I mean ordinary life. You know, you politicians are the cause of my misery. No, if you understand carefully that everything which happens is a reaction to activities which you have done. You are responsible for your life. That's the first element, which is good. Then you should have this next thing. That is, you should think of expecting the mercy of Krishna, who has promised to help his devotees on their path back to the spiritual world. That's the next element. And the next element is you should show your spiritual life with your body. Do something for Krishna. If it's only making an obeisance to Krishna, when you come to the temple and bang, bow down your sacred head to Krishna. When you do something with your words, that is glorify Lord Krishna. And when you do something with your heart, your mind, meditate about Krishna, then these three things will bring you to become a liberated soul. Yes. Once again, take responsibility for your life and what happens. It's a reaction. What happens in your life? When you don't get love, don't complain to others. It means you have not given love. Yes. And then know that, yes, the next thing is keep a spiritual lifestyle with your body, mind, and words. And finally, expect the Lord's mercy to come in your life. Then you will very, very quickly make spiritual advancement. This is really the another rock of faith, this verse. If you want to read this verse in your own reading time, you can find it in in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 8. It's the guideline for a successful spiritual life in this world. It's really what helps you to go the way to the end. Sometimes people say, I would believe in a God who shows me his face. Face, Lietze. But I want to say, I believe in a God who shows me his hands. What do I want to say with this? It takes a very purified soul to see the divine face of Krishna. But anyone who is a little trained in spiritual life can see the hands of God or the arrangements. Arrangement. That, oh yes, I met devotees. These were the hands of God who brought us together. Oh yes, this happened in my life. It was arranged by the hands of God. A devotee who believes in the hands of God and is satisfied with the arrangements of Krishna in his life, he will pray a very nice prayer. Please do with me, Krishna, whatever is best for me, just like a father does what is best for his child. This expresses the humble prayer of a devotee in this world. Please bestow or give whatever is best for me, just like a father does what is best for his child. Huh? This means believing in the hands of God. This verse you will find, yata charit balam hitam pita svayam tatatvameva hasina samihitum. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 20th chapter, text number 31. Yes, the devotee will think, I'm your part and parcel, my dear Krishna. And when and please just take care of me. Do arrange what is ever and what is necessary. Give me the tests which you think will help me to grow up in this life. Give me the challenges, but give me also the help, please, which I require on my journey to you. When Krishna sees this, his heart melts with mercy. When he sees that there is a devotee who wants, who's ready to make his journey into the kingdom of God, and who also is ready to take responsibility for this journey in his life, Krishna will make it very, very easy for the devotee. As you all know, in spiritual life there is a test. Every day we're moving closer to examination time. Every hour we're moving closer to the examination. Every minute we move closer. In fact, every second we move closer. That's our own death. Bali Sadacha smiles. The time of death, there everything will be tested, what you have learned in this life. And we all know from Bhagavad Gita that at the time of death, Whatever is there in your mind, whatever you think, whatever you are contemplating, that will bring you to your next destination. Whatever. You cannot cheat. You cannot cheat death. You cannot cheat yourself. You can also not cheat Krishna. When you think of Krishna at the time of death, if you have learned this, if you have based your life on this rock of faith, to think of Krishna, this unchangeable thing, you will go to Krishna's kingdom of God. You have made it. You have entered eternity. But what if you don't think? What if you think, oh, when I was young, oh, this pain, oh, this loneliness at the moment of death. What will happen to you then? Listen very carefully, because this is very wonderful. It is the essence of this little lecture. Listen very carefully. Once, disciples of Ramanujacharya, a great spiritualist, came to their Guru Maharaj and said, Guru Maharaj, what if at the time of our death we don't think of God? What will happen with us? Ramanuja said, I can't give you the answer. And he went to one temple, it's in Kanchipuram, where, South India, where there was a very great devotee who was a simple man from the Shudra community, who used to fan the Lord. Sometimes for many hours he would move a string. Are some of us from South India? Yes, Kanchipuram, you remember. You move the rope, and then the rope is tightened to a fan in the altar room, no? And then it moves and gives fresh air to the body of the Lord. You can ask our devotee from South India. He will explain to you the mechanism. Maybe we should install it here in this mandir also, this mechanism. You can study how to do it and then fix it. So this devotee would always talk with the Lord. The Lord in this, in Kanchipuram, is called Vararaj, the Lord of Blessings. So Ramanujacharya went to this devotee and said, I have a question which I can't answer. The question from my disciples, what happens at the moment of death if a sadhaka forgets Krishna? Can you please ask the Lord? Next time you fan, you ask this question. So this devotee asked the question. When he asked the question to the Lord, Lord, what happens with someone who tries his best, but at the moment of death, he fails the test, your own test? That Antikali Chamang Eva, whoever thinks at the time of death of me, he will go back to me. Then there was a silence from the altar. 30 seconds. Silent. 1 minute. Silence. Then after 2 minutes, long 2 minutes, the Lord gave the answer. If someone doesn't think, if a devotee doesn't think at the time of death of me, then I think of him. This shows you a little bit the uniqueness of bhakti, the bhakti movement. The bhakti moves And progress in bhakti happens also always by superior strengths, the strengths of God. It's called, what is this strength called? Kripa, Kripa Shakti, the energy of mercy. Yes, we must have effort. Yes, we must give our best. But we can only give a limited best. No problem. As long as we try, and even if we make mistakes, the mercy of the Lord, the Kripa Shakti, will make good of our attempts for spiritual life. If we are a sincere devotee who wants to sincerely do what is best for Krishna. Bhakti is not so much about an external show of perfection. Bhakti is about a sincere and honest and humble endeavor which will attract the mercy of the Lord and empower the devotee on his journey. Krishna does not count your mistakes, in other words. The world may sometimes count your mistakes. You know, do you know these discussions? You're with someone, maybe your own wife. In the year 1998, you said this to me. Oh. Then, only 3 months later, I had given you a second chance. You said this to me. Mercy, mercy. Then I waited 2 years for you to improve. But then you said this to me. And you didn't bring me flowers when you came from a long journey. I'm exaggerating now. It can also happen to a man who talks like this to his wife. Counting mistakes. Krishna doesn't count your mistakes. He doesn't even see them. He counts... count is not a nice word, but he looks at your sincere endeavors, whatever they are, and he is very, very happy about this. He thinks of you, even if you forget him due to some pain in the body and so on. Hare Krishna. I hope I have given you something. What I wanted to stress in this lecture is material life is based on material foundations, but spiritual life has to be based on rocks of faith or rocks of realizations. And I would request all of you to do this work. What is your rock of faith? What is, in other words, unchangeable in your life? Understandings which you have, which do not change, despite the river of change which is surrounding you at every minute of your life. Some of you might have to go on a journey which goes inside the heart, and they might have to look around. Might be an expedition for them to find their own rocks of faith. Some of you might never have thought about rocks of faith, unchangeable things. My recommendation to you is that after listening to this seminar, you please make a sincere endeavor in your life to find your own rocks of faith, and you will be surprised. There are treasures in your heart which you have continued to ignore for a long, long time. You wouldn't be in a spiritual process. You wouldn't be interested in something so exclusive in a way as Krishna consciousness if you would not have some spiritual understandings. But too often you allow to overlook these rocks of faith, these unchangeables, and then you are swept away by the river of change. I'm sometimes seeing up to 20 people a day when I was young, sometimes up to 100 people a day who come for interviews and discussions. And I find out that my main service to all these wonderful people who are looking for improvement in their spiritual life, that my main service is to remind them of the things they know already and they have momentarily forgotten, because they may have never done this work of collecting rocks of faith. Hare Krishna. I have come to the end of this presentation.